let's get her going.
I can't even, like, get the next sentence out without saying, did you guys have to wear green today like me? Did you?
Happy belated St. Patty's Day, pal.
What is happening here?
It happens all the time.
Wow, they are, like, me and Bornies, they're very similar color.
They are.
Okay, yeah. For the record, you did mention that you were willing to change your shirt.
I have a blue golf shirt.
And I said, don't you dare. Do not change it. We're going to air looking like this.
Unified today, boys. Green's same wavelength.
Green's the color of money, and, you know, Shohei's been in the news recently.
Well, cut. We're glad everybody's with us. Green with envy. For our show, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, James Wilson. All together on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. You can always download us if you can't catch us live and text us at 590-590 as we get closer to the week. Sammy will start reading a few more out.
Nice to have Blair and Barker on before us now. It was interesting to come in here and... It was a little bit of a different feel on the changeover after instead of talking to the sad Raptors guys. We've got the hopeful Jays guys now.
We did. When we would come in and relieve the Raptor guys.
How'd it go last night? Oh, they
really
lost.
Really?
By 40.
They got to be put out of their misery soon.
We just kept saying, like, the show's got to end.
So it was nice. It was nice to see those guys. And, so just a reminder, we are not here Thursday. Thursday, we are off. For the Blue Jays opener of the season, they play the Rays at 4:10 p.m., so we will not be on. So Blue Jays baseball, baby.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Hey. Just like that. In the meantime, the Toronto Maple Leafs will see the New Jersey Devils tonight for their first meeting of the season.
I know.
And they've got three in total to go, including tonight, to round out their dozen games left to go here.
Quick math.
Way to pack them all in. NHL schedule maker.
Very strange. 25% of the remaining games are against the New Jersey Devils. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know what to make of this, but it's strange. But either way, we're going to talk to the GM.
Coaching staff likes it.
Yeah, a lot less work in terms of prep. That's nice. Also, I shouldn't say this for sure, but they may be eliminated from playoffs by the next time they play them. New Jersey needs to win just about all its games, or at least 10 of 12.
And about...
Okay.
30 minutes or so, we're going to welcome in Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the New Jersey Devils, to give us a bit of an update and maybe talk about not meeting expectations with his core group. Of course, they've got some great young talent on the hockey club that just might not be ready for prime time, but we'll let Tommy Fitzgerald, speak of that in about 30 minutes. In the meantime, the Toronto Maple Leafs, day off yesterday, coming back tonight. Mitch Marner, perhaps getting closer, will not see action tonight.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of updates today. There's a lot of updates.
It's update o'clock. We can fill the people in on what's going on with the Leafers.
All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for the first update of the day on Kipper's Clippers on Mitch Marner.
Mitch is no longer day-to-day from day-to-day. He's just day-to-day. He's progressing very well. Not available today. As far as his plan for the rest of the week, I think that'll be determined tomorrow. I haven't got the full report on how it went today. So status for practice is undetermined right now, but he's doing well.
Official word from the coach. No longer day-to-day from being day-to-day, but instead is day-to-day. If you can follow that. Status undetermined for practice tomorrow.
So, in summation.
Find him, won't miss any time.
He's day-to-day.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll play on Thursday or not, but he's close.
It's been a while, though.
Has.
Like, today's the eighth game?
Yeah, but, like, so I guess when we talked about it, it was, like, not a huge deal, mild sprain or whatever, but I've never heard of anyone with a high ankle sprain coming back within 2 weeks, ever.
Yeah, but, it's not your typical... And it may not be a high ankle sprain. It could just be an ankle sprain.
Yeah, it would be better. So, medium ankle sprain.
But we are also talking about a guy that tweaked something and finished the game in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you hear of a high ankle sprain?
Right. So probably not a high ankle sprain. Right.
That was
plays out the way this one's played out.
Thursday, March 7th is the last game he played, and we're heading into...
Yeah, so 20 days ago.
Yeah.
So, better safe than sorry.
Yeah, this time of year, for sure.
I wouldn't be playing him really a whole lot, I don't think. I don't think there's much point. I guess you want to get him playing hockey again before it starts.
Can I tell you why you might want to play him again? Mm. Third line tonight is Nyes, Holmberg, Robertson.
Mm.
That makes me want someone back.
Yeah, maybe. Mario, you come back tonight then.
Let's see if you can find your way in.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Not great. But all guys that you would expect at some point to see duty.
Yes.
When the games are possibly...
Game one, I think two of them will play.
Right? And Robertson's just on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So give him experience. Give him moments to feel a lot more calmer in game one or game two or game three than in these instances. I like it.
And, you know, Kip, to your point, it's the no passengers line. It's like... Nyes doesn't have to look for Matthews or Marner or whatever. It's like no one's deferring to anyone. It's you guys. Go ahead and shoot it if you get a look. Go ahead and be the guy to take it to the net. Maybe there's some personal responsibility handed over there. So we shall see.
Not playing Reeves in the game with Curtis McDermott on the other side. Maybe Curtis McDermott not playing or something, but it's an interesting one, I guess.
It's also just interesting because not playing Reeves.
Yeah, so... like we have another update on the very injured Samsonov. If you'd like to hear an update on that,
would love to hear.
Keith, clip
update.
Two, please, Derek.
Samsonov, I'd say very same. Obviously, he hadn't skated in the last couple of days, so today was just he wasn't going to play tonight, regardless. So today is a chance for him to just sort of work his way back into the mix. And at this point, based on how things went today, we're expecting him in practice tomorrow, and then take it from there.
Has he got to work his way back into the mix?
I don't know. He's at ICU, is he? That's good. just jokes.
He doesn't sound like a guy.
That sound is all of us pulling our collar.
He doesn't sound like a guy that's, I don't know.
Looks like he's going to be fine, yeah.
He's got a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Sheldon Keefe, you're waiting for the medical staff to say that he can play. If you're the medical staff, you're being careful with the player. Mm-hmm. The player was hurt.
Very hurt.
Very legitimately.
Yes.
And so he will be back when he's back. Sounds like he's very close.
And the last and final update.
Okay.
This one is a more interesting one than the last ones, I promise.
This one I don't like the name of.
We'll go to clip three from Keith, please. Derek.
Riley's day-to-day, actually not ruled out for tonight at this point, but we'll see how he is later today. If he doesn't go today, it would be a day-to-day type of situation for him. Not an illness. Same with Edmondson, though he, I would say, he's not available tonight, and I wouldn't expect him this week.
Wow.
I know.
What is happening here?
I know.
Are Petets following up?
I didn't know all that was on the table for tonight.
Hadn't heard anything about Edmondson having anything. He didn't show a tweak. They didn't mention it. Nothing. And now he's not even available this week. I know. We said it yesterday.
We said, okay, we got a guy that they traded for that you like. That
23 minutes is not
is
huge.
Yes, can be a second pair guy or even a frontline guy in certain instances, right? On a pair with Riley, but can he sustain 22, 23 minutes at that high level of physicality and keep it together?
No, he can't.
Well, I don't think we...
How's he going to go every other day in the playoffs?
I don't know. Maybe he won't. No, but the answer is maybe he won't.
You've been helpful.
Maybe he won't. You know, maybe it's a thing where you're going to see more. You're going to see Timmins or whoever's the first guy out, Benoit. You're going to see Timmins. You're going to see guys because, we talked about availability with him being a career-long Bugaboo.
I will say, looking at the lines for tonight and looking at the decor, I think you have to give Tree some credit.
You do.
In, you know, there's not, we talked about how maybe there wasn't the showstopper at the deadline, but him acquiring Labushkin and Edmondson as sort of quote unquote depth pieces, you know, being able to bring in, you know, Timmins, we can have a conversation, but bringing Benoit in off the, out of the press box, it's like, this still looks passable for the rest of the regular season. It's not awful.
McCabe Liljegren, Brody Labushkin, Benoit Timmins.
It's not.
No, it's a lot of teams' third pair. And, yeah, you know what? Timmins isn't, no disrespect to this guy, but he's not Lajoie.
No.
He's not a guy who's, you know, he's played a lot of NHL games at this point. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's passable. Well, the Riley thing, too, though, like, not an illness, not sure if he's going to be available tonight. Doesn't even add up to me, because, like, if something's going to get better by tonight.
I don't know. Well, just leave him out.
Just leave him out. We're talking hours between availability. Yeah, yeah. They just
don't play him.
Don't need him.
They just ran the field when he was out. They're going to be okay.
We're going to push him hard or take a chance on him making it worse to stay in third place in the Atlantic.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Stupid.
All right. Where do you want to go? Joseph Wall?
Yeah, we'll go Joe Wall.
Just go through the whole lineup here.
He's getting a start again tonight, so we'll go to that.
All right.
Good four.
Well, I think if last game was any indication, he's building momentum and kind of getting back into a groove. I think that's why it was important to get him back in the net tonight. He's had some tough starts here, right? You know, he's been on the tail end of back-to-backs. He's been, you know, played some tough opponents, all those kind of things. So getting him in this one here tonight, I thought was important, you know, for lots of reasons, not just the way he played the last game, but just getting him a little extra start and you know, with Samsonov having a little bump in the road with an injury, that it allows that opportunity and just kind of makes it fall into place or makes the decision somewhat easier in that sense. So, I think he's building momentum and looked great the other night.
Mm. All right.
Don't love that clip of I'm Samsonov.
No.
Well, just connect the dots. His tone talking about Samsonov and then a little spring in his step talking about Joseph Wall.
there is like a little bit of pixie dust that comes off Wall's name.
There's a little skip there.
They want him to work out. You know, they want him to have a run of good hockey here and make their decision easy. I think they'd be happy with either guy making their decision easy. But Samsonov, this is undeniably part of the pros and cons ledger with making him your goalie, is that there's just not the confidence it can continue without, I don't know, injury.
Yeah, that's the biggest worry for Wall for sure, is that I think over the whole season when he's played, he's been really good. Like, I don't know what, I actually haven't looked at his numbers recently, but I'm sure they're pretty good. And he's just an above league average goalie when he's playing. But I think the thing that really worries you is him missing 80 days on a floater from the half boards.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what really worries you. So, and your other guy leaving the game with mystery injuries.
Mystery injury.
Can you leave it to the last weekend to be undecided?
Well, it's funny because everyone, like Jason Buchel has an article on Sportsnet today, and it says the conclusion about which goalie should start. And the conclusion is similar to what you and I said on TV the other night, which was just, you know, you kind of alternate these guys and wait for one guy to run with it. But that is the conclusion that people are saying, right? Is that leaving it to the very end and then...
I just don't know, though, and I've never played the position. Obviously, right. You guys haven't either.
No.
I went in one game last year.
Did league. You?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Horrific. I don't know why anyone chooses to do that.
Oh, what a position.
It's the worst thing in the world.
But how do they feel about going into game one if they've alternated the last 3 weeks? Is that enough for them to feel?
Are you worried that they wouldn't feel as
sharp? Do they go, okay, well, you want me to run with this, and if I don't, I have a good excuse. You never gave me a chance to kind of build it up or roll with it here. And Samsonov, as we know, has to feel really good about himself to get to a certain point, which many thought that he was getting to up until Saturday night in the third period.
That's true. And yeah, specifically the third period, because it looked like, boy, you know, shutting out the Oilers through two periods, could this, you know, this guy suddenly grabbing hold of this position?
And I thought looking really good in that game.
Yeah.
Like there was a few times, like he's playing with swagger, that big windmill save that he made. Like he looked the best version of himself.
There's no question that when he's, when Samsonov's good, he's limiting his body.
Yeah.
It's when he's quieter, he'll never get to the level of calmness in his game like Joseph Woll has.
Right. And not to be dramatic, and this is not my comparison, but like Max Domi compared Woll when he's playing well to Carey Price, in that it's very use your big body, be in the way and block style, and that's just not who Samsonov is. The one thing I see in the schedule, guys, is the season ends April 16th and 17th for the Leafs. Back-to-back games at Florida, at Tampa Bay. Like, I wonder if Martin Jones is in those games. So, you know, you play whoever's going to start your, you know, or I guess one of them could play as a backup or something like that. But, you know, the Devils, Red Wings that week. Let's say if you're going to start Woll game one of playoffs, his last game's the 13th. Give him a week off before playoffs. Would you like to see the starter have a run of games and then some rest before playoffs?
Joseph Woll, to me, is in a different bracket than other goalies that might want to take a week off.
Because he hasn't played enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's a rookie.
Yeah.
It's all just still new to him. And I'm sure last year, once he saw Samsonov get carried off the ice against Florida, his head was spinning and had to deal with that those nerves that we've all had. And what am I doing? How did I get here? Can I do this?
Yeah.
I just don't know at this point how much maturity has come into his game to now go into the last week of the season and feel like, okay, am I the guy? Am I not the guy? Do I need a break?
Do I not need a break? Because he is young, too.
I want repetition in practice. I want game scenarios. I don't want to. Don't tell me to stay home and rest.
Yeah. I went back to last season. The Monday, April 10th, the Leafs played the Florida Panthers. And they won in overtime. That was Samsonov's last start. And the first game of the playoffs was Tuesday, April 18th. So he had 8 days off, and he obviously started game one.
Yeah.
So that's a long time off.
Yeah, that's interesting to note that that's what they did previously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we get to Sheldon Keefe on the urgency he feels in the next 12 games starting tonight?
He got asked about playing teams this week that are sort of playing for their lives. Like, I mean, I think Buffalo's a bit of a stretch on that one on Saturday night. But, for example, tonight, Devils, and then you go to the Caps again. Well, they come here, right? So you got asked about that and give a pretty good answer. So,
yeah, we had this discussion after we finished our game in Philadelphia before we prepared for that Washington game. Is like, we haven't clinched anything. You know, nothing's secure at this point in time. And we need to approach it that way. Every day, every shift, every practice we get, we gotta have a level of urgency to everything that we're doing here. You know, we're approaching it with the mindset that we're going to be able to find a way to clinch a spot and all those sort of things. But you got to do it. You got to maximize each day in order to do that. That's obviously very important to secure those points and secure our spot. And the other part of it is to have our game in good order. So, you know, you're sort of fighting all those sorts of things, and you know, you pile on the injury stuff and guys in and out of the lineup that like we've had, and creating a little bit of adversity within the group just because of that situation. So,
you know, the Leafs have been very healthy this year, have they not? Like, they're talking, we mentioned injuries, it just feels like they haven't
last 2 or 3 weeks, until Marner got hurt. Basically, it feels like it's kind of been since that happened, it feels like it's really kind of turned.
They have avoided like the big one.
I
tend to agree with Sheldon, just listening to his comments about like you're so close to the first round. If you think you're going to pick and choose when you go hard or when you don't go hard, or you want to take your foot off the gas pedal, that's when you really start getting in trouble, I think. I mean, just play every game, play hard, play to win, relatively speaking here, not like life or death scenarios. Like, you don't have to grind anybody into the ground here, but play the right way. Play the right way.
I wonder, though, how, as a coach who's been through this exact same situation before, with players who have all been through this exact same situation before, and, you know, management, like, how do you all lie to each other to pretend it matters? Like, you know, to me, I've never played hockey at any high level. Like, it's just, how do you stay motivated? Like, I know you're getting paid handsomely or whatever, but, like, to me, it's got to be impossible.
I don't think it's a problem.
You're a hockey player, right? The puck drops and you play hockey.
Just, first of all, if you did a quick list of the things that you'd like to accomplish in the next 12 games, give me two right now off the top of your head.
Establish your lines.
Thank you.
Improve the penalty kill by 2%.
Thank you.
3%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Power play, maybe.
Who's stepping up that as deep pair that want to play with each other and are comfortable? We all know every time we went to the rink who our wish list would be. I'd want this guy as a centerman. Yeah. I want to play with you.
Yeah.
And it's like, go and show in the next 12 games that this is who you're supposed to be paired with, that you guys are the best at what we can do to win in the first round. So, Austin, I know that so much in the media has been built up of 70 goals, and I'm not suggesting he's going to bust his hump to get to 70 goals, but you don't want to exactly turn it off either. Because you don't, as a goal scorer, you don't know when you're going to get hot or when it's going to kind of dry up a little bit for you, or you don't get the bounces. So he's got a lot to kind of still play for to make sure he's in a good headspace moving forward on when to shoot a puck or when not to shoot a puck to dish it off. And I've really been pleased watching Austin, and Tavares is getting some points now again. You know how much he struggled in the last few months to put points up?
Yeah.
And now it's starting to roll a little bit. He's getting a few more bounces. He doesn't want to mess with that either.
No.
So there's a lot to play for in 12 games here.
Yeah, individually you have the things that you're after, right? Like, you know, play well enough to be on the power play if you're Max Domi, or play well, or even Tyler Bertuzzi. So yeah, individually you guys are playing for things still. There's still that motivation. So
I think Matthew's got to get on a real heater here now to get 70.
I think, you know, if he beats McDavid's 64 from last year, I think it's a heck of an accomplishment and, you know, a viable let's get that number. But 70 is, he's got to score basically every game from here.
Yeah.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. And
he does, right?
Yeah. And he's going to have to.
12 in 12 games.
Yeah. It won't jive with the team concept of getting ready for a first round. For a guy to go and now get to 70 goals here, he's going to have to be awfully selfish on shooting the puck.
If they were out of playoffs and he were like OV chasing the record or something, I understand the Caps have made a push recently.
They're in the playoffs,
buddy. Yeah, I understand. But, you know, were the team out of playoffs, maybe that would be a thing they worked on, but you're right.
Get him the puck. Yeah. And you don't want to go down that path. And I don't think Austin's going down that path. Sheldon's not going down that path. And I don't think the team's going down that path. He's not gonna take away the good looks that he gets to shoot it in the net.
That's how he's wired.
But he's not
chasing it.
Chasing it, and he's not pushing the flow towards it.
It would be cool to see him get 60 against Ovechkin on Thursday.
That'd be good.
Right, well, that's a fun little in season storyline there to see.
Ovi
him.
Gets 30, he gets 60, same game.
How many does Ovi have?
26.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Oh my god!
I know.
Wow, that happened fast.
Goal per game for the past like month and a half.
Yeah,
boy, that All-Star break really did him wonders.
Yeah, that rest, he got way better.
Yeah, ton of rest. Yeah. Last
on how he'll handle his decor. Would you like to talk about the defense?
Well, we were talking about this a little bit about mixing guys in and out, right? And he got asked about how he was going to handle that. So we can listen to him talk about it. All right.
Well, we've been approaching it more with the eight guys, but I would like definitely to keep guys involved. And you've seen that, you know, with how we've handled some of the back-to-backs and making sure guys stayed in. We we need everybody. That's on whether it's on forward or defense. Guys need to stay ready. We need to, when you bring in, you know, in our case, two new defensemen, that sort of changes the mix a little bit of our group. Those guys, they need reps, and others need reps playing with them. Timmons is coming off of long injuries and illness and hasn't played a lot this season, so we need to get him involved. And then Gio's fought same kind of things. And then we've been talking about Brody's situation too. So we're managing all these things as best we can. But the good news is that no matter what we've done and how we've moved things, the group has responded well to it. So I think our intention would be to continue to utilize all of our guys, but at the same time try to find some rhythm and consistency inside of it.
So he hasn't, like, right now he's Edmondson's hurt, so that kind of manages it for him. But, like, if we're looking ahead to game one, mm-hmm. what is the six guys?
Is it Benoit out is the real question, right?
That's it, I think.
Yeah. And yes, it is Benoit out. Because Edmondson, they love that he's a little heavier, meaner, bigger.
Yeah.
More right. experienced.
Mm-hmm. And where do you get TJ Brody's game at?
Yeah. That's actually is still one of the remaining questions here down the stretch is, can he get back to something where you're like, all right, we trust him to do, he's like Justin Hall of yore for them at this point. Kill penalties, break the puck out, don't play in the top pair. A different role for him is how I see it.
Yeah, I liked Riley McCabe when they did that for, was that mm-hmm. the couple games when Brody was out? Thought that looked passable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to work as a top playoff pairing.
Right.
But I didn't mind it. So maybe you could move him down a little bit, lighten the load.
It is interesting to me that we don't even hear Mark Giordano's name. Like, no updates on his timeline.
Well, he's eligible to come back now.
Oh, is he?
He's eligible to play, apparently. Well, Keith talked about it this morning, but he kind of, like, said something early, and then he got asked about it again, and then he's like, I think I'm right about that one. Like, he wasn't sure of it. So I think he's eligible to play.
Arrested Giordano over Timmons in playoffs? Yes, please.
Okay, he's the eighth D now, the ninth D.
Do you think he's
you
what?
Got 12? No, I'm just wondering. 12 games to go here.
Yeah,
you do want to get him in once
yes,
or twice.
Yeah, here. Absolutely,
no question.
I get why they want to give Timmons a few games.
It doesn't sound like he's close to being an option for them right now.
Certainly is talking about Timmons. The fact that he's even mentioning Timmons mm-hmm. without really concerning himself with the Giordano update does say something about where their mind said who would be net first in, which I don't know how you guys feel about it. I guess tough to know what version of Giordano you're going to get, but
it's been a long time since he's played too.
You love his heart and soul, but there were instances this year where you watched him and it's like, the legs aren't there, the speed's not there, and you're just too slow.
Mm-hmm. You know, in playoffs last year, I wrote an article just breaking down clips where it was like but I thought he was overused last year, and this year I thought a rested version of him might have more to offer and well, limited.
No question that if he's got a chance to come in and plug a hole or just fill in, he has to be very well rested.
Yeah. Well, he should be by now.
Let's hit a break.
Okay.
Come back for
Fitzgerald. We'll hit a break, and we're going to find the general manager of the New Jersey Devils. Tom Fitzgerald will join us when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game day as they welcome in New Jersey Devils tonight for the first meeting of the season. They've got three to go. It's going to be interesting in the next 12 with three of them coming against the same team. Kind of look they'll have by game three in this short period. Two things are happening. They'll either like hate each other beyond belief or we'll just see a lot of deals get cut, I think, on the ice.
Deals
one
get
of the
cut.
Two. One of the two.
It's very possible. But, yeah, I am excited to see it. The haven't had a good look at the Devils yet this year. So,
Okay, let's welcome in Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the New Jersey Devils. And Tom, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. We were just mentioning it's kind of rare. You'd see so many games piled on to such a short period of time, but that's the case with you and the Toronto Maple Leafs. So what are you looking for out of the next 10 games of the remaining of the season? I know the playoffs aren't completely out of the realm if you guys go on a heater, as your number one centerman often has mentioned. But what are you looking in the big picture of these next 10 games and three of them coming against the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it. I love your show.
Thanks.
Big fan. So, yeah, I mean, listen, this isn't the season we thought we were going to have, but it is what it is. And we're still in a fight here. And that's the most important thing. I think the one area that this team, my team, has shown that inconsistency was pretty consistent this year. So trying to get on the track of consistency right now and playing the right way. And we've shown out of three of the last four games anyways, that when we do play the right way, we manage the puck, we clock manage, we play, we check, we defend, first and foremost, then the offense will come. And it gives us a chance to win hockey games. And that's where we were last. We played the Penguins a couple games ago. You know, really strong showing against Winnipeg, a dud against Ottawa, and played really well against New York Islanders less than 24 hours later. So we know we're in a dogfight tonight with a great team. But really, it's about us and how we're going to come out, how we're going to manage the game, and how we're going to, you know, just take what's given to us.
Tom, you were quoted as knowing that you were going to take a step back in certain areas. Is that particularly your blue line? I know we know you lost Dougie Hamilton, but taking on the likes of Luke Hughes and Simon Nemec here, not having Hamilton there, was that the step back that you were talking about?
Yeah. And that's no shot at our decor by any means. It's reality. Put Kevin Ball in that situation too, you know, 6'7" defenseman who was in and out of our lineup last year, you know, taking, you know, needing him to take a step, which we believe he has, to replace a Ryan Graves, you know, was part of it. With Luke, you know, we knew what we had upside wise. We knew Luke was going to, any young defenseman, it's a tough league to break into, to not make mistakes. But we were committed to living with those mistakes, knowing that taking that step back would take us two steps forward. And with Simon Nemec, be quite honest, like, I wasn't expecting him on my team this year. But the Dougie Hamilton thing, mm-hmm. injury, you know, kind of pushed him forward. Now, I give Simon all the credit in the world. He probably wouldn't have gotten his 10th game. But we could not take him out of lineup, how good he was early. But like any young defenseman, you know, they start going through the ups and downs. But we believe we've got, especially in those two, we've got two pillars on the back end that we're excited for and know that this experience this year will really propel them forward to being the players we project them to be when we drafted them.
Tom, tell us a little bit about the roller coaster that's been trying to get your goaltending position where you wanted it to be. You know, I look at a lot of the numbers, and you guys are a pretty darn good team by a lot of them, but bottom three in the league in save percentage. It's been sort of an adventure at times for you guys, has it not?
Are you talking about my career in New Jersey, or are you just talking this year?
Talking about this year, Tom.
Well, Corey Crawford retires on us. Jonathan Bernier plays 8 games in 2 years because of injuries, things that were out of our control. But
yeah.
This year, you know what? We looked at last year in our goaltending, and with Mackenzie Blackwood had some injuries, but really felt he was going to be the goalie of our future. You know, adding Vitek and having that 1A, 1B, you know, you look at the numbers Vitek put up last year, you know, wins and losses, you know, and there's only one other goalie in our organization in the history of it that had more wins in a single season. So we felt that, you know, the blip on the radar was the first couple of games in the playoffs with Vitek, but for sure had confidence in him coming back. And what we saw in young Schmid, we really liked. Mm-hmm. We played really well last year in front of him, and he proved that, you know, just, you know, giving us a chance to stop pucks, to give us a chance to win. It did with his record last year. Again, a young goaltender that saw his ups and downs early. And it turned out, you know, bringing up Dawes was something that was inevitable after he got back from his hip surgery. So, but the reality is that Dawes and Schmidt are two young goaltenders that we really like down the road. But here we are right now, you know, making a move to bring veterans like I did, and giving us, you know, kind of give us a situation in the off season to you know, if goaltenders are on the market, to be able to be in that market because of, you know, cap space in the net.
Tom, we know what analytics means to
Mike on. There you go.
Yeah, I didn't touch it.
You're good.
Tom, we know what analytics means to a lot of hockey clubs, yours included, in terms of, you know, the crunching of the numbers and how it can pertain to ultimately making decisions. When it comes to the goaltending, prior to you trading for Jake Allen, we heard some big names out there linked towards your organization. And just where are you in today's game when it comes to the lure of a big name goalie, and how good goalies have to be now to win championships compared to years prior here? And, you know, are you at the point where they need to be very good, but they don't necessarily have to be great? And does that factor in ultimately your decision on a long-term goalie?
Yeah, that's a great question, Nick. First and foremost, yes, we are an analytic company, but we use it as a tool. We also use the eye test and our hockey intuition as well. It's great when they all match up, but what we, you know, we're trying to hedge bets on players, whether it's contracts, whether it's the term of a contract, whether it's a trade, you know, that does play into our decision making, but as well as the reports that we have, you know, an abundance of pro scouts and abundance of amateur scouts. So, you know, we're a collaborative organization, really process driven to make the best bets we possibly can make on every transaction that we make. So, with that being said, you know, goaltend is probably the most important position in the game of hockey. And if you're not getting the saves at appropriate time to give your team a chance to win, because you are going to have mistakes in front of your goaltender. And that's all we're looking for, is someone who can give us a chance to be in every game. You know, we've had that in for the last 5 or 6 games. We've been in every single game, and our goaltenders have given us that chance. But that by no means, Nick, and you played a long time, is taking anybody else off the hook. You know, we probably give up a lot, a handful more prime A chances than a lot of teams. Well, we did. Mm-hmm. And that's correctable. But that's also choices, you know. And we've got to, as a group, you know, try to kind of go down a path where you're making the right decisions with the puck. And we're seeing that, you know, right now. We're seeing that. And we saw it at times before, but like I said earlier, it's the inconsistencies of that were really shooting us in the foot.
One of the big decisions that you guys did make was to, you know, acquire and sign Timo Meier. He's had a good run of hockey games in the last stretch here. You guys won 3 of your last 4 over that time. I think he's got about 7 points and a lot of shots, period. You know, are you starting to see more of what you were expecting from him? Maybe tell us a bit about his season with you guys.
Well, I think Timo would tell you, first and foremost, it's been inconsistent. This is the Timo I'm sure Timo likes.
Yeah.
The Timo I like. he's been that power forward that we've envisioned. You know, he's playing with authority. He's playing with confidence. He's getting to the front of the net. You're seeing goals, you know, in the blue paint. He's got a great shot, but you're not necessarily seeing him standing out on the outside waiting for the one-timer. He's just been playing the right way, both ends of the ice. And his ice time has shown that, where, you know, even in critical, you know, moments of the game, defensive zone starts, last minute of a game, he's finding he's hearing his name get called. And I think that's important. You know, we need this Timo to do what we want to do long term. So no, we're excited where he's at, and like I said, we're not looking back, we're looking forward, and this is exactly the player we felt we traded for.
We're talking to Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the New Jersey Devils. Tom, I don't really have a question on Curtis McDermott, except I really liked it when you got him.
Me too.
It made it a lot more interesting, especially when you guys play the New York Rangers. But all kidding aside, what can you tell us about the pickup and Curtis so far? I think you guys have him listed as day-to-day right now, and I don't think we'll see him tonight. But what can you tell us about just the mindset? And, hey, Rangers, here he is.
Well, you know, yeah, he's banged up right now. We don't believe it's long-term. It's day-to-day. You know, after tonight, we play again Friday. We don't play again until Tuesday. So there's some time here to get him right. You know, Nick, it's a great, it's not a question you said, it's kind of a statement. And you're right. There's a place on my roster for a player like this, because one of the character. He's a fantastic kid. He's got great character. He's a leader. You know, the short time that I've seen and witness how he acts in the locker room, in the weight room. He's like the Pied Piper. He goes in the weight room, they all follow. That's the value he brings to the table. Not to mention, he can help players feel 2 or 3 inches taller, or maybe, you know, 10 to 15 pounds heavier too, when he's in the lineup. And there's also value there. So, and he can play. He can skate. He's up and down the ice. He knows who he is as a player. But like I said, the most important thing for us was the character, the teammate, the work ethic, just the passion for the game. And we're thrilled and would love to, you know, keep him around longer.
Tell us a little bit about Luke Hughes' season. I mean, for myself, really just impressed. He's one of those guys that when you're flipping through channels, it's like, I'm going to watch the Devils because I can see what Luke Hughes is going to look like tonight. Is he ahead of where you thought he would be, or were your expectations always as high as this performance?
I would say, honestly, looking back and watching him in college, he's ahead of where I thought he would be. And really where I got excited was not only the last game of the year he played, or he might play the last two games. It was when he was thrown in to the second round of the playoffs and he just popped. And it was like, wow, look what he's doing here now. And no, we know we have a great young offensive puck moving defenseman. Where he is improving is his play away from the puck, his defending. He's using his size, his reach, his legs to defend. But like every young player, they're going to make mistakes, and we knew this, and we were okay with it because of what we believe this young player will be going through this experience. No different than his brother, you know, Jack's first year in the league. I mean, it wasn't an easy time for him. You know, but we felt having him on our team and being a young 18-year-old and understanding where this league's at and where he needed to be, I think really, really helped him become the player that he became and still becoming. You know, the sky's the limit for him as well. But the experience that these kids are getting, you know, is invaluable, you know, because of, you know, where we think they'll go with that.
Well, Tom, we're looking forward to the game tonight. We so appreciate stopping by on our show, and thanks for the kind words on being a fan. We really appreciate it, man. All the best down the stretch.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye. Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of New Jersey Devils, or should I say, Sammy, on your behalf, good luck 7 of the next 10 games.
Yeah, I don't care. these games.
You're good?
I'm good.
I'm all good.
I just love Tommy for trading from the pride of Sauble Beach, Ontario, Curtis McDermott.
So I played with Curtis's dad. Oh, it was like built like a brick, you know what, house.
Yeah, much like Curtis
and just
himself.
Like this. I fought him too. Guy almost like took out my voice box, punched me right in the throat.
Really?
Couldn't talk for like 2 weeks.
That's a funny place to get punched to me. It's never not funny.
No, it hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure. Luke Hughes leads
and my singing
them
career was over.
Well, you still have that nice baritone.
If it helped.
Yeah, maybe I should take one of the throat. That'd be great.
Thank you.
Luke Hughes leads them in time on ice per game. 21-15 per game.
It is the hardest position for a 20-21-year-old to come in and play National Hockey League.
He said all the right things, Tom did, but you could tell that they, you know, they're working with him. There's D-zone errors and coverages and stuff that, you know, you don't want to come on here and say, well, actually, Justin, we need him to defend better. But it's a process for a young defenseman.
And the decision,
he has the tools.
The decision to go out and get Jake Allen, he's not Markstrom, but it had a lot to do with protecting Luke Hughes.
Yeah, so that every error doesn't end up in your net.
And they don't feel bad about themselves for the next 15, 17 games at the time of the trade.
Yeah.
That, so that he's there to protect them to finish off the season and add some stability and some professionalism from a true veteran. Mm-hmm. So I questioned it. Like, come on, just lose as many games as you can and get the highest pick you can. But that's not
the bigger, not there. The they had 112 points last year.
The bigger picture is protect some of your assets like a Luke Hughes. So I get it.
Yeah.
So Jake Allen makes 1.9. Well, they retained some money on that one, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he made four.
Yeah. Like
four
it's on the books for them. It's 1.9 this year and next.
Like that.
And I mean, they got that Kakinen. But he's done after this year.
Yeah.
So they could still trade for Markstrom, and you're spending $7 or $8 million.
Price
he has to go get Markstrom this summer.
That's a tough spot to be in when the team knows. You know, I should have asked him about this, but he had made a comment in the media about Calgary, about teams trying to extort you at the deadline. And I got the sense he felt like Calgary's ass got a little out of hand because Calgary knows they want to do that.
How can you not come to that conclusion? That is 100%, in my opinion, directed to the Calgary Flames.
Calgary got a little big for their britches knowing that they're trying to,
So everybody, all the reports were that the deal was all but done.
Yeah.
And then somebody changed something somewhere.
Someone says, you know what? I want the partridge and the pear tree. And they said, and then, thought it was just for the partridge.
And then you had a ticked off Markstrom too.
Yeah.
Well, he came out and buried the front office immediately. Remember?
And the team's not been exactly on fire since.
God, they stink.
Yeah, they traded everyone. Yeah.
That's what sucks for the Flames fans when they were like, hey, we're actually kind of fun and plucky. Yeah. Now we suck.
Yeah, they traded.
So as much as New Jersey can feel, New Jersey can feel like they have different options, I mean, they got to get this team back into the playoffs.
Like I said, they were a 112-point team last year. They were, you know, I think going into the season, people had them in the Stanley Cup picture. And so, it's a significant drop-off. And then how do you get back there next year? I tell you what, you look at their group of forwards, like, they got work to do. They need to make some additions. I love Hischier, Bratt, obviously an all-star, and Meyer and Hughes. But, you know, I like Palat. But beyond that, it's...
Do you remember the last game that New Jersey played here in Toronto and how fast they looked?
Well, they're fast, right? I mean, even
They were off the charts.
Yeah.
I can't recall what the score was, but I do recall going, that's the fastest team in the league.
Yeah.
You remember that all last year?
Yeah, I
remember. I don't remember anything.
You're the guy who remembers everything.
But I don't remember, like, the Devils were fast last year.
No, I remember it. I was like, you know,
I
was in wow mode.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think once your confidence is a little shook, you know, you hesitate a little bit and you just lose that jump, that edge to look that fast. So everything that could go wrong went wrong for them this year. But at the end of the day, you get I think I was looking while he was talking there, save percentage on the season, third last in the NHL, 88.67% on the year. That ain't going
to
cut it.
Okay, the first of three to finish off this regular season for the Toronto Maple Leafs against the New Jersey Devils.
That's too many.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, Chris Osgood, former NHL goaltender, 13 winningest goalie in NHL history, will join us. We'll tee up the Detroit Red Wings, Washington Capitals. Who gets the last spot? We'll find out.
after these words.